Hello, gorgeous listener. Welcome to Confidence Unleashed with confidence coach extraordinaire, Heather Tucker. Join Heather for candid conversations on intimacy for married women. Explore guilt-free sensuality. Let go of societal and religious taboos. Learn to love your body and boost that sex drive. Confidence Unleashed, your key to unlocking a more confident, sexy you in and out of the bedroom. And now here's your host, Heather Tucker.
Welcome, everybody. This is your host, Heather Tucker. I'm so grateful for today's message because it really hits home to my heart. It's something that I have personally struggled with for years. And those are things that have killed my confidence, have taken away from what makes Heather, Heather. Today, we're going to be talking about the five habits that are killing your confidence. And the very first one is something that I just struggled with today. Today was the very first day that I put my bikini on. It is March 16th. We're in California, Santa Barbara. We're really close to the beach. And yes, it is sunny most of the time over here in California. We have more sunny weather than maybe some of you out there. Please come and visit us. You will absolutely love it. Love it, love it, love it. Let me just tell you how good it feels when I am in my bikini, when I am in the sun and I am feeling God's presence. I feel so light and I'm able to let go of any stresses that I have been holding on to throughout the week. And it's this beautiful feeling of being close to God, being close to nature, hearing the birds, feeling the wind, caressing my skin. One of the things, though, that every single year when it comes time to put my bikini on that goes through my head is, what is my neighbor going to think? Now, if you're anything like my family, we live very close to our neighbors, and our son, in the warmest part of the day, is in the front yard. And so where I tend to lay out is in the front yard. I pull up my car. I make sure that not that many people can see me when they drive by, but I'm able to access the sun and it feels amazing. No matter what time of day that I lay out, it's almost like my neighbor knows Heather is out in her bikini and I'm going to go say something about it to her. Without fail, every single year, she says something like, oh, like really loud where all the neighbors can hear, you're in your bikini again? And here I am just trying to enjoy myself, be myself, feel free to be myself in my own yard, my own property. What right does she have to say something? Really, she doesn't, but she feels like she has to for whatever reason. I don't know her reason. But in the past, when she has made comments like that, it has made me feel very uncomfortable being in my bikini where I'm the most happy. So then I have pulled back from being in my bikini because I want to make her feel comfortable and I don't want to hear her comments. I don't want her coming over and making a spectacle and putting this spotlight on me and making the neighbors see or make them feel like they have to come over and comment. I mean, it's been this big thing. We've lived here for 10 years, and I swear to you, every single year she says something. So today was the very first day that I put on my bikini. I felt really good. I've been working on my body a lot since January, working out, eating healthier, lifting weights. I've been feeling strong and good and confident. And so when I put on my bikini and I looked at myself in the mirror, I'm like, yes, girl, go outside. You look hot. This is the right time. This is the right time for you. So I go outside. I'm laying in. I'm probably about 40 minutes in or something. And here she drives by our house. She slows down and she says, I see you. You're in your bikini. And then she keeps going. And then I turn to my husband who's sitting right next to me. I'm like, God, why does she have to say something every single year? And I said to him, you know what? This is going to be my next podcast episode, because I know that there's so many things that can take away from our confidence. And a big part of this is caring what other people think about us. And so that's the first habit that I want to talk to you about is, do you care? Do you care too much? Does other people's opinions of you make it so that you are not living inside what feels good to you every single day, whatever that looks like? For me, it's my bikini. So as soon as that happened, I said, Chuck, I'm going upstairs and I'm recording a podcast. This is what we're talking about today, because I know that it's not just me that this kind of stuff impacts people, right? So the first thing is, you have to learn how to stand up for yourself, because when you don't stand up for yourself and you don't continue to be you, it will kill your confidence, all right? Confidence is hard to come by if others are constantly taking advantage of you, whether it's at work, if it's in your relationships, or wherever. When others do not respect you or your boundaries, it's going to be hard for you to respect them too, right? Also, others' constant lack of regard for your time and energy is slowly killing your confidence. So I want you to go into your day, think to yourself, where am I not standing up for myself? Where am I allowing other people to take away from my own personal rights, my own personal freedom? Because not only does God give us freedom to be ourselves, but there's a lot of good things the government has done to bring us a sense of freedom. Yes, they do pull some things from us. Social media, you know who you are. Which is one of the reasons, by the way, that I started a podcast, because my friends told me, Heather, you can totally be yourself on podcasts. You don't have to worry about social media slapping your hand for talking about sex and intimacy and confidence in the bedroom and body confidence. Go start a podcast. So I'm like, okay. So that's one of the main reasons why I'm over here, because I know that this message needs to get to more people, because I see it every single day. I see it in myself. I see it in my friends, my family members. We're all walking around caring too much about what other people think. We're taking on other people's belief systems, and it's doing so much damage to our self-esteem and our relationships, how we show up at work. I mean, it's just everywhere. So if I can help you just a little bit to become more aware of the things that are taking from your confidence, I know that if I could make you aware of that, you'll be able to feel it when it starts to come in, and you'll be able to work on it so that you can still show up and not allow other people to control you being you, okay? The second habit that is killing your confidence is that you are comparing yourself to other people, all right? Comparing yourself to others isn't necessarily a bad thing. It can be a great tool to improve yourself and your circumstances. But if you use others as a source of who you need to be accepted, that is where you're going to get into trouble. Because if you're showing up as somebody else and other people are accepting you as this fake you, what happens if you really want to show the real you and you allow pieces of the real you to come out? How are people going to react? Are they going to start to say things like, what? You've never said that before. You said that this happened, or you said you cared about the world, or you looked at the world this way, and now you're saying this? Who are you really? You could lose friends that way. This has happened to me. this comes up a lot when you are so concerned about looking like someone else that is impactful or making a difference in the world, someone you aspire to, maybe Oprah or somebody else that you can think of, where you're like, man, if I could be that influential, I could really make a difference in the world. So you start to dress like them, you start to act like them, you start to speak like them, you show up on stages speaking just like them. But where's you in all of that? You have to remember, God made you as a unique individual. If he wanted us all to be robots, he wouldn't have given us different personalities, different body shapes, different hair textures, different hair colors, different eye colors. If that was his intention for us to act like somebody else, he would have just made us all robots. But he didn't do that. And if you believe in God and you believe he's a very intentional God like I do, you need to learn to grab a hold of your uniqueness and take it with you every single day and be proud of it, because your creator made you that way on purpose, with a purpose in mind, with a mission for you to bring to the world. So that is on purpose. Why would you want to try and be like somebody else? It's almost like you're spitting on your creator's handiwork. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to question your creator, make your creator think that he made a mistake. He didn't. If you believe that your creator made you on purpose, Psalms 139 in the Bible is going to really mean a lot to you. And you're going to learn how to tap into your genuine, unique spirit every single day and bring that to the world. Because when you're choosing to be more like yourself every single day, that is so attractive. It is. That type of confidence, when you show up like that, that's going to get you raises at work, promotions at work. That's going to attract your husband or your partner to want to be intimate with you more, because confidence is so sexy. It comes out of your pores. Confidence pours out of your pores. It feels so good when other people are around you, when you're in your highest confident energy. So don't go and kill it. Don't kill your confidence trying to be someone else, trying to fit in with the Joneses. Don't do it, all right? The third habit that is killing your confidence is putting yourself down. How many times have you heard yourself say in front of your partner or your husband, "My ass looks so big. Oh my God, my cellulite. Oh my God, I'm so fat. Oh my God, these pants don't fit anymore. Ugh. Perimenopause is kicking my butt." This is me right now. "Perimenopause is kicking my butt. Nothing fits. I'm so frustrated." So you hear yourself, you feel the thoughts coming in, and then you are hearing them coming out. And if anyone is around you when those types of words are coming out of your mouth, do you think that energy is attractive? I bet you're going to say no. And if you asked your husband, I bet he'd say no. So work on your languaging. Work on how you feel and think about yourself. If you're thinking about Psalms 139 and you're going into every day with that type of confidence, knowing that your creator made you on purpose, that is going to help you to not talk down to yourself. I will tell you, the thing that kills my confidence is remembering things other people have said about me or to me in past relationships that I've been a part of with other males, either it's been a boyfriend or my ex-husband. When you have those thoughts in your head from past relationships, you could be in the best mood and all of a sudden you'll remember something negative that somebody said to you. And before you know it, if you start to believe that thought that just came in, you're going to pull yourself back from being who you are in that moment. You're like, oh my gosh, I remember when my ex-husband said, nobody else is going to love me except him. Now here we are divorced and I'm on the dating market again. And I'm walking around with this thought, no one else is going to love me. No one else is going to love me. What is that thought going to do to you if you're single and you're on the dating market and you're looking for the next love of your life and you're wanting to get married again? What is that kind of thought going to do? That's going to make you pull back from even wanting to date or to get serious with anybody because you're going to start to think, oh my gosh, I'm not worthy of someone else loving me. I'm going to believe what my ex-husband said. If you have those type of negative thoughts coming in over and over and over and over, and you get to a place where you believe them, now it's an inner belief that you have to learn to break. How do we break those habits? How do we break those negative beliefs? Well, I can tell you what worked for me. It was learning how to replace all of the negativity with positivity. So what I would choose to do every single day if I had a thought like that, like, oh, your ass is big, I would say no. Well, yes. If you're friends with me on social media, you're going to see my butt is big, okay? God blessed me with a rather large, plump peach. It's really huge. So I've had to learn how to fully love and accept my own butt, which back in the 70s and 80s, when small butts were a thing, you better believe that was a little bit more difficult to do. But now that big butts are in, it's easier for me to accept my big butt. But I still have those thoughts that can come in like, oh, your butt is so big. So what I've had to do is I've had to say, yes, it's big and I fully accept it and I love it because guess what? My husband loves it. He loves big butts. So as long as I accept my butt and I thank God for my butt and I love that my man loves my butt, who cares what anybody else thinks, right? So what I choose to do now is remind myself of those things that God made me on purpose and that my husband loves me for me and that it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. And so when I get dressed, I'm going in with a positive attitude when I pick out my clothes. When I step outside the door, I am choosing to live inside the confidence of it doesn't matter if somebody else doesn't like my body shape. I love my body shape. Our self-talk is one of the biggest things that will kill your confidence, whether you speak negatively or whether you speak positively. So what I would tell you to do is just be aware, become so aware. Make sure that you have times throughout the day where you're taking a break and you're asking yourself, what kind of thoughts have I allowed to come in today? Do I need to do any kind of work to heal myself from where those negative thought processes have come from? Do I need to uproot any negative or false beliefs that were either put on me or I put on myself that I need to now heal and uproot so that I can allow confidence and positivity to flow in? I will tell you a better habit to adopt is to talk to yourself up instead of down. So here are some things that I like to say in front of the mirror. I highly recommend that if you're wanting to build up your self-confidence and talk better about yourself and think better about yourself, that you stand in front of the mirror. Don't close your eyes. I want you to look at yourself. Look directly in your eyes. And I want you to say thoughts like, I am naturally confident in all that I do. Make sure you smile when you're saying it. I am bold and outgoing, and everybody wants to be near me. Everything I need to succeed is within me. I have faith in my skills and abilities. Those are some affirmations that you could try. Those are my favorite ones. I say them every single day. not just once. I will say them multiple times throughout the day if I have to. Because, hey, we live in a real world with people that are hurting, people that are stressed out. And so you could do a lot of positive work before you get to work, but then you could be stuck around negative people all day. And if you're not fully strong or in your center of who you are throughout the entire day, where you have this bubble around you where no one else is impacting how you feel about yourself or how you feel about life, we do need to do this type of positive affirmation work all throughout the day. I recommend before you step out of the house in the morning, you could do it on your lunch break, maybe go out to your car, look at yourself in your rearview mirror and talk to yourself. Or you could go and take a restroom break and whisper it to yourself in front of a compact makeup mirror. And then on your way home from work, before you get into the craziness of your life and family and kids running around and screaming and all of that, you just talk to yourself positively throughout your drive home. I'm a great mom. I could do anything. Oh, that reminds me, one of my favorite verses is, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. I love that. That verse can apply to your confidence as well. So as you can tell, I love Jesus and I love God. And so a lot of what you will hear here is biblical principles, and you will hear me talk about God. I hope that you love that. If not, I still love you. You can definitely be here and have any kind of belief that you want. All of the principles that we'll be talking about, whether I'm the main speaker or whether I bring on other people to speak, all religions, all walks of life, all sexuality, identities, genders, all of that is going to be accepted here. Okay, the next habit that will kill your confidence faster than anything is living an unhealthy lifestyle. Now, when we do things in life that make us feel bad inside, then it will wreak havoc on our confidence. This can be just about anything, but most people struggle with things like unhealthy eating, smoking, drugs, and excessive drinking. I know this because I have a habit of binge eating. I don't know if anyone else out there has a habit of binge eating. It comes from my upbringing where things got real emotional. I had an abusive father, and I would go into my room with Twinkies or brownies or ice cream, and I would hide me eating to help me cope with the emotions that were happening in my younger family life. I know there's a lot of you out there that also do the same thing. For you, if it's not food, maybe it's smoking cigarettes, vaping, smoking weed, whatever it is that you find that you're doing to cope with your emotions. Sometimes after a short feel-good period, these types of things can make us look and feel bad, which can then impact our self-confidence. So if you're already not feeling confident about yourself, and then you add in unhealthy habits, that is going to compile upon each thing. It's going to be a negative domino effect instead of the positive domino effect that you want. So you're already feeling bad about yourself, and now you're overeating, and then you go by the mirror and you're like, I feel so fat. Oh, I shouldn't have ate that thing. Now you're feeling guilty and you're taking on shame, and I will never have a great body and I'm always going to be unhealthy. Now you're having all of these negative thoughts and you're spinning out of control, and it can be this negative pit that you end up falling into. So do yourself a favor. Try your best every single day to choose better habits when you are emotional, especially. So instead of grabbing an ice cream, maybe you can go for a walk. Instead of taking a hit off of something, you can sing your favorite song or dance to your favorite song. or go take a yoga class, decompress. There's so many different things that you can do that will help to elevate how you feel versus taking you lower. When you get your bad habits under control, you're going to feel more in control of your life. That's going to feel good. And when you feel good, then your confidence rises. And when your confidence rises, other people around you can feel that your confidence has risen. And it feels so good to be near you because now they're not hearing you speak negatively and you're not dragging them down with you. So eat healthier, exercise, participate in a support group. You can stop smoking, for example. But whatever it is that you struggle with, every day make an effort to find information or seek help to live a healthier lifestyle because you will feel so much better. The next habit that is killing your confidence is staying in your comfort zone. This comes up for me a lot. One thing that people are always surprised at when I say to them, I am an introvert. Everyone's like, what? No, I would never guess that you're an introvert. You're always smiling. I always see you on stages. You're always speaking up. You have a social media platform that talks about how to better your sex life. How are you insecure or shy? I would never guess that about you. For me, staying in my comfort zone feels better. It does. I feel more confident when I'm by myself, when I don't hear anyone else's negativity. I feel better when I'm in my comfort zone, but guess what? I'm not growing when I'm in my comfort zone. I'm not opening myself up to more opportunities that God might have around the corner for me if I'm staying in my comfort zone. There is a saying that says, nothing ever good comes out of your comfort zone, which is so true. I've experienced this myself. You'll never grow and build confidence if you hide from risk or uncomfortability or the possibility that he or she may not like you, may not get along with a group of friends, or if you refrain from putting yourself out there. Staying where it's safe and comfortable is going to kill your confidence. It will. I have seen this so many times in my own life. This can even come up in the bedroom. What if you're in the bedroom with your partner and you're so used to having sex one way and that feels good and you know both of you guys are coming out on the other end fully satisfied, but then a couple years into the marriage, you start to feel this boredom feeling, or you start to notice when your husband initiates sex that you're not really in the mood, you don't really feel like it. Or when you initiate sex, he's like, I'm tired or I'm too busy. It's been a long day. Or the kids have just been crazy and now all my energy is drained. When these types of situations come up, a lot of times it's because we have allowed ourselves to get way too comfortable in the bedroom. We are doing the exact same positions that we've done since the first day we got married. There's been no adventure that has been brought in. We're doing it in the same bed. We're not even trying to have sex in different rooms of the house. We're not trying to be sneaky and go in our car and find a dark street to be intimate. There's so many different ways that you can spice it up in your marriage bed. But so many of us get comfortable. Or we start to think to ourselves, oh, if we change it up or if we do things outside of the bedroom, that's going to mean I'm bad or I'm gross or I'm too dirty. These thought processes can start coming in. And a lot of times It's from our upbringing in the religious places that we have grown up in. So we have these mindsets in the bedroom that are holding us back from having fun and from really letting loose and to develop a sense of sexual freedom, I like to call it, where you can feel free to express yourself exactly how you want, whatever feels good to you. You're showing up in the bedroom, dressing the part how you want, wearing your hair how you want, wearing heels, stockings, nothing at all. You're playing dress up in different outfits. You're being a maid and he's being a butler. Whatever thoughts and fantasies come through your brain, so many of us aren't even tapping into those things because we're scared that the other person is not going to accept that part of us, or they maybe don't want to do that. So we stay in the comfort zone in our bedroom. And before we know it, we're 5, 10, 15 years into the marriage and we're not having sex. We're sexless now. We're not even talking about sex. We're not even trying to turn each other on. We're not even doing anything intimately. And that, my friends, can lead into porn, cheating, divorce. You don't want that. If you can help it, work on that part of yourself. Get out of your comfort zone. My husband and I were sexless for 12 years. Do you think that I want another couple to go through that? To go through what we experienced? Do you know how lonely that was? My husband and I would be sitting on the couch right next to each other. I would reach out my hand and he would hold it, but then it wouldn't go further. I would try and kiss him and he didn't want to. Or I would go and wrap my legs around him and sit on top of him and start to kiss his neck. And he would push me off of him because he wasn't in the mood or he wasn't feeling good. Do you know how horrible that is to live in a sexless marriage? I don't want that for any of you. A big part of what can help you to avoid a sexless marriage or to overcome a sexless marriage if you're in one like I was, is to learn to be spontaneous in the bedroom. Get out of your comfort zone. Maybe you're at church. Do you sit in the exact same spot at church every single Sunday? I used to. I'm like, ooh, I feel comfortable in the back. And if I have to get up and go to the bathroom, I will be less noticeable. And I can go out discreetly and come right back in. But then I wasn't making friends. And I was wondering, why am I not making friends at church? Well, it was because the same people were seeing me all the time. And guess what? They sat in the same place too. So we all have these habits. We all tend to gravitate towards what feels comfortable. But then we're not growing as a human being, as a person. And if you're not growing as a person, you're going to get so bored at life. So bored. And that can cause depression. That can cause anxiety, that can cause stress and pressure on yourself. You might be losing sleep over it. So get into the habit of putting yourself out there in all different parts of life. Do really scary things that you normally wouldn't do. Maybe you could give 2 cents at your work's morning meeting. Maybe you never speak up, but you feel like you want to. You're like, oh my gosh, I have such a good idea. This would benefit the company. But then you stay silent because you're wondering, what if they don't like it or they don't approve of it? Or what if my boss pulls me aside later and says, that was a stupid idea. Bye. You can't be here at work anymore. You're fired. Don't hold yourself back. What if that thing that is the idea that is planted in your brain has literally been gifted to you by God? What if you speak up at the next meeting and that thing saves the company? That thing helps the company to make $1 million that year. You don't know. You don't know what your thoughts could bring to the world. So learn to speak them out. Maybe you could even join a new club or start a hobby. I started to play drums a couple of years ago, and I wish to God I started sooner. I really do, because when I was young, growing up in the 80s, the examples that we had for female drummers wasn't really that many. The music that I listened to had all male drummers. And so in my brain, I thought, oh, okay, well, if I'm only seeing male drummers, then that means that there's no female drummers. So I guess I can only sing in the chorus, which is what I did for years. And I even sung at the church choir, and I was just going around singing everywhere, which is great. I love to sing, but I also had a desire to play drums, but it kept me from even exploring or trying because in my mind, I thought girls don't play drums. So a couple of years ago, I thought, man, you know what? This is lame. I have always wanted to learn to play drums. I am not leaving this planet until I learn how to play drums. And now I'm 2 years in and I hear things from people around me at the music studio or if I post a video of me drumming on social media. And I hear, how long have you been drumming? Oh, I've been drumming for almost 2 years. And I hear people say, wow, only 2 years? You sound like you've been drumming for a long time. You are really, really good. You know how good that feels? You know how much that boosts my self-esteem? And to think, I almost didn't take a lesson. Another example that I have of myself is maybe 8 years ago, I hadn't taken a dance class since high school, and I used to be on the dance team. I loved it. It was amazing. I felt so good about myself. I loved being part of a group. I loved learning a routine and us all doing it together to a kick-ass song. That was so much fun to me. But then I got kicked off the dance team for meeting a couple of boys on one of our trips. I got caught drinking, and so then I got kicked off of the dance team, and I started to feel like I don't deserve to dance. So I lived in that thought process for years until I hit my 40s, and I started to desire to take a dance class again. But I was so scared because it had been over 20 years since I had set foot in a dance class. But I saw one of my friends. She went to this dance studio here in town. And when she posted her video, and she's about the same age as me, I thought, oh man, if she's doing it, I can do it. And that gave me courage. And I stepped into my first dance class, and I hadn't been there for 20 years. And there was tons of young women. They were maybe 18, 19, 20 years old. And here I am in my 40s, the oldest woman there in the dance class. But I did it. I went and everybody was very accepting. I was very surprised at how accepting that they were. And I learned that the dance community is very accepting of all ages, all size bodies, all sexual identity and gender. It's amazing. There was even a couple of men there that were wearing heels that were taking dance class, and they were good. They were so much better than a lot of the ladies that were taking the class. So you never know. You never know what good can come from stepping out of your comfort zone. After I went to dance class myself for maybe a year and a half or 2 years, I was posting my dance progress on social media, and I was getting messages from other ladies saying things like, man, I want to take a class like that, but there's no classes in my area. How do I take a class like that? So that showed me, hey, Heather, maybe you can teach dance. You've learned enough now over the last couple of years where you can teach a beginning class. And so I did. I started to teach a beginning class online. A lot of people took that class and they loved it. And they were so grateful. So there's so many things that can come from you stepping out of your comfort zone. You don't know what God's going to do just from you raising your hand or putting yourself in an uncomfortable situation. The key is just to get yourself out there and to do something new and adventurous, no matter how uncomfortable that you might feel at first. The more you push yourself out of your comfort zone, the more confident that you will become. So thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate each and every one of you. I hope that these 5 habits that can kill your confidence have helped. Please let me know in the review section what you thought of this episode. And if you feel compelled and drawn to give this episode a 5-star rating, I would really appreciate it. And if you would also leave me a positive review, that would be amazing. To conclude this podcast episode, do not let these habits sabotage your confidence building efforts. Stop putting yourself down, stop comparing yourself, and stop living an unhealthy lifestyle. Not standing up for yourself and staying in your comfort zone are also things that you should avoid. These habits are killing your confidence. So please, everyone listening, do whatever it takes to eliminate those things that are killing your confidence, because you deserve to live a confident life. You deserve to feel happy. You deserve to wear a smile on your face. Go and smile at yourself right now. I'm smiling at myself. You deserve the best in life, and I'm here to help you with that. So thank you so much. And until next time, take care of yourself and God bless.
Thanks for rocking out with Confidence Unleashed and the incredible Heather Tucker. Want to invite Heather to speak at your next event or dive into some one-on-one coaching magic? Head over to sexcoachheather.com. Until next time, keep it sexy and stay true to yourself. Shh.